Hello and welcome to Putting Town Centres First, a new podcast by the Heritage Council. I'm Alison Harvey and I will be interviewing guests throughout the series. Today I'm talking with Tara Buckley, Director General with RG Data. Tara talks about the importance of independent grocery stores and the intergenerational connection that her members have had with our historic town centres. We also discuss planning policy and the need for a more integrated and collaborative approach to managing our historic town centres. This afternoon, we have Tara Buckley from RG Data. You're very welcome, Tara. Thank you so much for joining us. So could you just give us a wee bit of background to yourself? What's your role in RG Data? You know, what's your sort of experience? You know, why are you doing this job?
Well, RG Data is the Retail Grocers Trade Association, and we represent about 3,500 local shops, supermarkets, forecourt stores, and convenience stores all around the country. And the vast majority of our members are town centre traders. My background, I was a journalist. I worked in a number of the large newspaper groups here as a political correspondent. I also worked as a property journalist. And after that, I was a communications public affairs person in some big companies in Dublin. And since then, I have been in RG Data for nearly 16 years.
Very good, Tara. And you and I used to know each other when we sort of in a previous life, didn't we? When I worked in the private sector. So that's how far back we go.
Well, absolutely.
Okay, so basically you're a voice then for your members. Is that really what you're trying to do? Sort of advocate for their what their concerns are, what their issues are?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously we would have a lot of different services for our members in terms of supporting them. But one of our key areas that we have been engaged in over the past 20 years is about town centres and town centre regeneration and vibrancy of town centres and shops that people can walk to. So I suppose we ended up getting very involved in the planning system in Ireland, in town centre renewal and all of these areas because our members were so invested in their town centres and in their communities, and because this became such an important issue for us.
So a lot of your members, they would have been like sort of, you know, generations going back, the businesses would have been in the families for quite a long time. So they are really invested. Is that what you're sort of, those are your members? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the type of shop that we represent, there used to be 13,500 local grocery, dairy and other types of stores in Ireland selling groceries and essential goods. Over the years, we've had many changes, including the introduction of the self-service supermarket, the arrival of the multiples in Ireland, the arrival of the discounters in Ireland. It's been an extremely competitive, challenging marketplace. And I suppose what's brilliant for my members is that we still have 1/3 market share in Ireland for independent family-owned shops. And that's rather unusual. I mean, up in Northern Ireland, I think it's in and around 10% is independent. And I think over in the UK, about 16% is independent. So the march of the multiples has been very significant in all these other countries. One of the reasons that independent shops have survived in Ireland is an awful lot of my members, even though they could be third, fourth, generation family-owned businesses, they have joined symbol groups. So many of them operate under a symbol group. And the reason that helps them is that it's a buying group. So it helps them to be competitive with these huge multinational players. And they get supports and business supports through the buying group. And also, I think that the fact that they're so invested in their towns and have such good links with their communities has helped them to survive and thrive. The other thing too is they are very agile because they own the business and can adapt it and change it. And they've had to do that over the past 70 years.
Okay, so traditionally they're the sort of anchor of our town centres, the people, your members, their buildings, their businesses, like their sort of landmark, really, aren't they? You know, they're so important to keep them going.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons that I started getting engaged in the whole area of town planning was the relationship we developed with Professor Kevin Layden over in Galway. And he was doing research into vibrant, connected communities around the world. And they spotted that having an independent food shop in the centre of the town or the community was a key element of a vibrant, connected community. And they looked at towns in Galway and they looked at towns in other places around the world for this research. And it showed that the the citizens who lived in towns where they had a vibrant, independent food shop were more connected, more socially connected, more politically engaged, and were happier, healthier communities.
Okay, so those are the kind of businesses that sort of sponsor the GA club. You know, as you say, they're connected. They're you know, sort of an intrinsic part of the local community. I mean, I think it's really interesting, the stats that you're given there in terms of the independence in our town centres, you know, because obviously we don't want every town centre to look the same. You know, the whole thing is about sort of retaining the character. So, you know, those businesses obviously need to be supported going forward. Is that really what you try to do, to support them with policy, to support them, you know, to try and get the policy to look at these town centres? It's been quite difficult, I'm sure you would agree, the last sort of 10 years or so. These town centres have changed so enormously. You know, what kind of role do the grocers feel the town centre, what way do they see this going forward, you know, for their town centres?
Well, the 20 years ago, Orgy Data would have been very engaged in trying to get retail planning guidelines introduced here. And that would have been a big campaign where we were concerned about the arrival of new players who wanted to build outside the town or on the edge of the town on greenfield sites, who didn't want to, whose model didn't suit coming into, you know, the traditional Irish town centre. And so we would have lobbied hard for the introduction of the retail planning guidelines. And we would have played a very active part in the planning process over those 20 years. And the guidelines would have been a big assistance to us, because at least we had a set of rules that were set down by the government in terms of the vibrancy of town centres, in terms of the sequential test, and in terms of ensuring that the shops were built in the right places. Now, the interesting thing was, Ali, as you probably well know, is that in many cases, the guidelines were ignored or overruled. And we did see a lot of out of town, edge of town retail development. And what that has led to has been huge levels of vacancy in our town centres. And I think maybe in the last 5 years, we were struggling to try and understand what was the next step. What could we do? What could we look for and seek to try and address this issue of the hollowing out of our town centres, of the, you know, the challenges that we saw towns facing? Our members looked like they were going to be the last shop standing in the main street in many towns and villages.
Yeah, so they've seen a lot of changes, clearly. So, I mean, I suppose their experience really should be listened to, shouldn't it, in terms of policy and what is needed for our policy. I mean, I suppose my kind of background with, you know, planning is that I now look at the retail planning guidelines, and because it's only for one land use, it's really not sort of, you know, what we need for modern, you know, planning in our town centres. And as you say, the change has been so immense that maybe now is the time to adapt, you know, with climate change coming. And we have to have those sort of mixed uses, you know, get people living back in our town centres. Again, those grocers, I mean, you know, they've got buildings and the upstairs, I mean, I suppose they look around them, the buildings that are beside them, you know, there's a lot of vacancy in the upper floors. Is that kind of what your members are saying to you? You know, it's, you know, because our town centres are not just ground floor, you know, that we have buildings, three stories, whatever, and we seem to maybe have turned our back on those upper floors. What are your thoughts on that, Tara?
Well, can I just recap a bit about the sort of contribution that these local entrepreneurs make to their towns? When they're on their own, they may look like a small business, but collectively, we had research done by Jim Power, the economist. And I mean, the investment that our members make in local sponsorship and causes is around 90 million a year. It was about 3.5 billion to the national economy. 90,000 jobs. So collectively, we are extremely important players. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the vast majority are those town centre businesses, and a lot of the members of Orgy Data are local entrepreneurs who would own other businesses in the town, and they would live in the town, and their, you know, their families are engaged in the health services, the education services, the cultural services, the sporting services. So they're very engaged in their community and their town. So they are, and also a lot of them were seen as people who could help the town to regenerate when things started going pear-shaped for towns. But the problem we arose was that you could get together and come up with a plan to have to do a market or to have a festival or to do something. And we started to realise that you get all the enthusiasm, you bring the businesses together, they have the market, the customers come, they think the market's fantastic, but they don't come back the next day and they don't come back during the week. And the problem is that all the same issues that frustrate them or stop them finding the town centre attractive remain. So that was when we sort of changed our tack and realised we needed a policy that really identified all of the elements of a town centre. You can't do it. The retailers alone can't do it. The housing alone can't do it. You know, it has to be everyone coming together. And I
suppose, and Tara, when did you sort of, you know, you had that research undertaken, when did you kind of change tack? You were saying there that you changed sort of, you know, direction or whatever. When did that, that's a few years ago.
I had started down the road of this direction, but you actually helped me with the light bulb moment because I attended a Heritage Council seminar down in Kilkenny and I met you. And we were, I had made a presentation on our town centres and the concerns that we had. And you and I had a big chat afterwards, and you talked to me about town centre planning and town centre regeneration and urban renewal. And suddenly, I suppose that was the light bulb moment for me that we needed something different. And it wasn't just the retail planning guidelines, and it wasn't just urban regeneration. It was something that brought all the elements together. And you know, I've been sitting watching the way government and regulation and policy has developed in Ireland for the last, you know, 20 years. And the biggest challenge that we have is that collective collaboration, joined up thinking. And when we started down the path, Alison, and eventually it became the programme, the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check programme, it made me realise that that's what we've been looking for. We've been looking for something that helped bring together all the interested parties. And that includes the entrepreneurs, the business people, the citizens, and the local government and the regulatory authorities. Something that brings us all together and brings us with a blank sheet of paper. And we start from there working through the challenges, the opportunities, the issues for the town.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, that collaboration, it's really about trying to break down the silos, isn't it, really? You know, that you and I have both come across, you know, in terms of our own sort of working lives or whatever. But just to say, that day that we had that coffee after the conference, and you and I sort of talked about what was needed, and then we sort of set about, you know, writing the project charter and meeting various people and bringing the universities in and the ITs, who have been just amazing. And some of our speakers are going to be people who came in right at the start. Just to say, you know, when we set up the programme, we didn't actually have a budget. I didn't have a budget in the Heritage Council. So, you know, it really was important, that first discussion, the same as yourself. You know, I kind of felt I couldn't walk away from it now, you know, that we had to do something, that collaboration. And it was the only way that you and I felt that it was going to work, really, because what had been done before wasn't working. Wasn't that really what we sort of agreed that day?
Absolutely. And I mean, I take my hat off to you because I absolutely agree with you. You know, we started with a blank sheet of paper and an absolutely empty wallet. So,
yeah, there's not too many people would do that without a budget.
You mentioned some of the many absolute things that we learned over the last number of years as we've gone along this journey. One of the key learnings, I think, is, first of all, is how the bringing together of everyone around the actual surveys and the data collection is a fantastic bit of gel that can put people who have maybe completely opposing views or different, you know, but it brings them together and it puts them on the same page and starts them working together. But the other magical element, I think, was the involvement of the third level institutions and the students. And I think some of those early town centre health checks that were completed, where we got marvellous input from students. And the fact that the students came from architecture or town planning or marketing, but they went into their local town and they suddenly looked at it with new eyes. And we got really inventive, you know, and maybe stuff that some of the rest of us mightn't have noticed.
And also the rapport, because the students were going in and talking to the business people and sort of hearing them, you know, with student eyes, as you say, with fresh pair of eyes. And as we sort of talked about, you know, it enabled us as a programme to move into a neutral space where people could have that discussion about what is this, you know, what does this town centre need? And I think that was kind of really missing, because people were sort of getting caught up in their silos and possibly, you know, agendas or whatever. So I think it it gave us a bit of a freedom, you know, it enabled us to be free to think about things, you know, it freed us up.
Absolutely. And Ali, the other thing too, I think maybe was another milestone, was when we changed from shopper surveys to, you know, more like visitor surveys, because we all understood that, I mean, people would say to me, why are you here at the table? And I'd say, because we want vibrant, regenerated town centres. And we understood it wasn't just about retail.
Yeah, and I mean, the land use surveys were very clearly looking at all land uses, because you'll remember from the early days, people would say to me, is this just about retail? And I was like, no, it's about everything. You know, we don't just do a retail survey. We do a full land use survey of all land uses. And I think that that's why you were talking about the policy. I think maybe that's why the retail planning guidelines need to move on, and we need to have sort of more appropriate and modern guidelines that just don't do that one land use that we're all sort of talking about and everybody got hung up about at the very, very start. And we had to try and get the message out, no, this is about collaborative sort of processes, and this is about mixed uses, and particularly about looking at vacancy to see if we could get people living in the upper floors and could they be adapted and redesigned. Could I just move on then, in terms of the main changes? Obviously our town centres have been through such a difficult year, and we were very clear with the programme that the town centres were struggling before they actually went into COVID. So in terms of pre-COVID, and you know, what your members and you know, the businesses that they run and have run as families for generations, you know, how are they sort of getting through this year? I mean, it's obviously, it's very difficult, as I know, talking to all the sort of people in the programme in the private sector. How are your members doing, Tara?
It's been extremely challenging. Now, my members are deemed essential shops because they sell food and, you know, essential items. So they have remained open throughout the pandemic. When they first arrived, particularly they have become health experts overnight because they got very little guidance, you know, cough into your elbow, stay 2 meters apart, and wash your hands. And they had to adapt this to their businesses because they took very seriously their responsibility as community retailers and as essential retailers. So, you know, I take my hat off to them. They were the ones who came up with Perspex screens and masks and visors for staff.
Very good.
And, you know, hand sanitization stations and signage on the floor and, you know, counting numbers going into stores and doing one-way systems and closing tills so that there would be proper social distancing. So they did a huge amount of adapting their stores to make them safe and trying. And then they also had to manage, you know, their cocooning and vulnerable customers, setting up links in their community. And they were fantastic at doing that. And it was back to this where you have businesses that have that community anchor and link. You know, they were the first really to set up those links with the GAA and others and make sure nobody got left behind, nobody got missed out on their groceries and their essential items. And it was, you know, it was a very positive response from their local communities to these stores, and obviously one that we want to build on and continue.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, people are aware now, and the sort of loyalty through this sort of COVID pandemic that we've had to endure, you know, people are much more aware of their town centres and also those businesses and trying to support, you know, people like your members. Do you feel that has happened, that there's a growing sort of loyalty, or what do you think?
Look, you know, a good retailer realises that they always have to be on the ball in terms of customer satisfaction, creating great value, you know, and in for shops, for my members, essential retail is going to be sort of, we call it bricks and clicks. So we won't be overtaken by online because people will still want to come into a bricks and mortar store for some of their food shopping. But we must be up there and moving with the times and keeping ourselves relevant and ensuring that our shops provide the best value, provide the best offer, provide the best theatre experience of going to a shop, you know, provide access to local fresh food, healthy options. So all of the normal things of running a good grocery store, a convenience store, they haven't gone away. They're still there. And even the whole sustainability issue, the green grocer issue, that's still very much on the agenda, as well as dealing with COVID-19.
Yeah, I think people are much more aware actually of what retailers have to do and what commercial people have to do to survive. You know, this year has really highlighted that. In terms of the programme for government, that was published in June, it includes a Town Centre First policy. Now, this is obviously something that, you know, our programme and the community programme has been sort of lobbying for and, you know, saying that we need it because, as we said earlier, you know, the policy maybe was too sort of one-dimensional. What are your thoughts on this Town Centre First policy?
Well, certainly Orgy Data would have been one of the, another one of the serious advocates for the Town Centre First policy. And all of our lobbying to government in the run-up to the general election, to the individual parties, and post the general election to the parties negotiating the programme for government, we continued to try and ensure that we ended up with a Town Centre First policy. Because, like yourself, we had recognised that, you know, we needed a unified approach, and we didn't see how that would happen unless we had the Town Centre First policy. And I suppose the looking over to Scotland and seeing what a positive impact the Town Centre policy has had, you know, it certainly made us think this is the direction that we need to go. But the one concern I have, Alison, is that we got the Town Centre First policy into the programme for government, which is fantastic. But it's not just about policy. It's about the programmes that deliver the policy. And I'm a small bit concerned that we're quite good at sitting around discussing policy. We're quite good at coming up with, you know, submission processes and long, protracted, you know, to-ing and fro-ing, when it's staring us in the face that there are things we need to do and we need to start doing them now. Mm. The vacancy issue was with our towns well before COVID-19 arrived. And the chances are it's going to be significantly worse in 2021, 2022, when businesses that have been forced to close for prolonged periods of time may find it very challenging to open again. So we absolutely need to be looking at our town centres now and doing things that help revitalise them. And my concern is that we're taking, you know, it's over 100 days since the programme for government and the government was put in place, and we still aren't really seeing any concrete measures on the Town Centre First policy and on the programmes that will deliver it.
Okay. And then obviously the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check programme, you know, we've had that up and running for a few years, and that is also in the programme for government too. So it needs investment and it needs, you know, sort of more of a team behind it. In relation to the programme's focus, as you know, we sort of look at, you know, spatial data, trying to gather that data that didn't exist. I mean, obviously, that's really, you know, we need to sort of invest in creating that and mapping it and having a portal, all those things so that, you know, people, your members, practitioners, the communities, that we're all much more aware of what's happening in our town centres. Do you think with this COVID that people, you know, I think there's a growing support for that and there's a growing awareness. There's loads of articles now coming through in the newspapers. Do you feel that the sort of wheel is starting to turn, or what are your thoughts?
I think, you know, and I do think there's a lot of people talking the talk, and we're seeing it from the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, from other ministers, and they're talking. And when they're, you know, when they've gone through the new economic plan, when they went through the budget, they've been name checking the revitalization of our towns and villages. But my only concern is at what they announced in the economic plan and in the budget was, in a way, the same old way of doing business. So they talked about investment in the town and village renewal scheme. They talked about investment in digital hubs. They talked about investment in housing. But where are we getting the joined up thinking? And that, at the moment, is my biggest concern. Because one of the things that we've noticed over the number of years we've been involved in trying to encourage town centre regeneration is that if you do a single project or a scattergun approach, it doesn't work. It works for 6 months because everyone feels happy that something has happened, and then it all goes pear-shaped again. And, you know, even some of the coverage over the last few days has been about vacant and empty buildings and what needs to be done. And I certainly agree with some of the more out there suggestions, because I think we've sat around and let this happen, and we need to do something very practical to address it. And I think just doing more policy or sitting around inviting submissions on the National Development Plan, mm-hmm. it's all very laudable, but I don't think it's going to change and address the very pertinent issues we have now that need to be addressed.
Yeah, and the vacancy rates, as we know, you know, you and I have been to some meetings in Brussels. You know, the vacancy rates that we're hearing from other member states are very, very low compared to what we have in Ireland. You know, so I think, again, you and I sort of felt that we couldn't really walk away from this issue. And we're just trying to highlight what the vacancy rates really should be, you know, what the range should be, that they shouldn't be over 20% for commercial ground floor when the Dutch are at 5% and the Danish are at 5% and the Dutch are at 6.8%. You know, if we're over 20%, then that's obviously, you know, it's an indication that our policy mightn't be actually working. So I'd agree with you, you know, the policy, but we need the programs behind that. And the programs really should drive on the projects. You know, the projects shouldn't be done in isolation. It should be more coordinated. Just in terms of, you know, the program and your members and, you know, their sort of attempts to collaborate or their successful attempts to collaborate, where do you think, you know, is really working for your members? You know, what towns do you sort of hold up as being, you know, exemplars?
Well, for example, my members have got involved in their local community in different ways. So in some, it's been like a local enterprise company, or where they've put in place a company to actually manage the revitalization of the town. And in Skibbereen, I have a fantastic member called John Field, and it's a family business. They are a fantastic family, very engaged in their community. And John Field is actually the brains behind the Ludgate Hub, which is one of the first digital hub in Ireland. And it's a testament to John and his hard work that now the government has put money in the programme for government for digital hubs, because they've recognised what an important element this is to town centre regeneration and how it could work in other towns. So John, you know, he really thought about Skibbereen and what it needed. And he had noted that he had many very eminent people from the digital world and others who were either regularly holidaymakers or former residents or whatever. And he brought them all together. He donated the building and he got the you know, Skibbereen to be the highest gigabit broadband town in Ireland. And I remember when he started on that road, he said to me, "Nobody's going to do it for us, Tara. We have to do it for ourselves." So, you know, Skibbereen would be a very vibrant town. And there's a lot of work done locally by a combined group of citizens and business people and others to make it a vibrant town. And some of that has been involved in bringing new businesses to the town. You know, that's been looking at there's a beautiful new art centre in the town, the West Cork Distillery, you know, keeping that, you know. So all of those things help. In another town that I was going to mention is Croom in County Limerick, where I have another fantastically dynamic member who runs a spa shop, and they have worked with Croom Enterprise Association and with the help of Dennis Brosnan. So this is, we're back to this where, you know, really good business people who want to try and help their local community to start working together are really good at providing the leadership. But then you need the drive behind that to keep going, to keep chipping away at all the issues. So in Croom, they're really working hard. They've got that enterprise group has now got a new primary funding for a new primary care centre. They're trying to work on their main street, which is a lot of vacancy. At the moment, their challenge is to try and get that balance, because there's a couple of housing projects, and housing projects are great, but you need to make sure that there's a balance. And that's why this idea of bringing people to the table and bringing them at the start of the process and working together would be such a great help. And that's why I love the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, you know, that it can't just be the public sector working on its own. You know, there has to be the collaboration with the private sector, those entrepreneurs, those people that have had those businesses and know how to be agile and adapt, because they've had to do it through their sort of family generations, you know, to keep the businesses going. So, yeah, I really admire those kind of people as well, because they're the sort of backbone of our country and our towns.
You know, at the moment, there's a lot of announcements around investment in mobility projects and greenways and pedestrianisation and planting. And while that's all so welcome, one of the biggest concerns I have is the lack of proper consultation with the citizens and the businesses. So that, and the problem you have is that if you're not consulted before it all starts, if you're consulted when there's a plan, you don't feel like you're being properly consulted, and it gets people's backs up. And then you suddenly find there's people against really good things that could happen to a town or village, but they're against it because of the way they've been approached. So that's why, you know, involving the businesses and the community from the start is so important.
Yeah, and they are one of the key pillars in the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check, you know, programme. I mean, I don't actually use the word consultation in the programme. You know, it's about participation and engagement. So, you know, the concept and the processes are very, very different. And I suppose it's just trying to raise awareness with policymakers, you know, as to what we're doing and why it's different and how it's different, you know. So you know, that risk is lowered when you all start off in the same path. And also, you know, I suppose fundamentally what we're trying to build as well, Tara, is trust, you know, so people will engage and work together so that we can sort of, you know, rebuild our town centres. Can I just ask you now the last question, if you don't mind, in terms of this podcast, really this question is for all our speakers, okay? So if you could do one thing, obviously you've sort of really highlighted your sort of work and determination and enthusiasm for what you do there. If you could do one thing for Irish town centres, what would it be?
I would put the investment into a national organisation or unit to drive the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check programme. Collect the data, share it with everyone, share the best practice, provide that link to the expertise, provide that link to the third level institutions, get the program rolled out across the country.
Very good, very good, Tara. Listen, I do have to say it's been a pleasure working with you the last 4 years or so, and hopefully, you know, we will get this investment that we need so that we can really fix our town centres. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Ali.
Thanks, Tara. That was fascinating as always, and it's so interesting to hear all about the human stories, particularly at this challenging time. So folks, please share and comment on our podcasts. We want you to engage with what we're saying. We really want to know what you think, and we want to know how can we best support our historic town centres in Ireland at this challenging time. We will be releasing new podcasts on the issue of putting town centres first every Wednesday and Friday for the next couple of weeks. We do hope that you can join us. Please feel free to subscribe so that you don't miss any of the podcast episodes. And thanks for listening.